Now he says, in like manner also that women. Now, we come to this matter of woman's dress. And it'll be helpful to you here if you will supply again the word I will. Now he's giving the way men are to pray. Now, in like manner, I will that women pray this way. Now, will you listen to me very carefully, because I think this is very important for us to see today. We're living in a day when actually there are two extreme positions relative to the place that women should occupy in the local invisible church. And all of them use this passage of Scripture. One position permits women to occupy a place of prominence and leadership in all public services. They have women preachers, choir directors, and officers. No position is shut out to them. And as a result, women are not only prominent, but they're dominant in the church. And you find that true. Southern California always has had its share of women preachers. And ever since I've been here, I've carried on a very friendly warfare with the women preachers. They had a prayer meeting to pray for me because they thought I was being a little harsh with them. I didn't really mean to be that way. I just enjoyed carrying on controversy. And many of them today actually are my friends. And they're lovely ladies. Don't misunderstand. That's one side. Now, in this type of a denomination, why, you find them not only, as we've said, prominent, but dominant. And we have a denomination in Southern California founded by a woman. In fact, I think there are several. And they're a preacher in that group and some very fine people in it. He told me that they had never recovered as a denomination from that background. It brought them into existence, but it also stunted their growth because they were made up, I think, of some very fine folk. When I was pastor in Nashville, Tennessee, a tent was put up across the street from my church, and the Baptist preacher and myself, we were very good friends. We went over to see who it was, and we met the husband and wife team. The wife did the preaching. The husband did all the legwork and seen putting up the tent and the benches and all that sort of thing, and he led the singing. And I don't know, that's all right if you like it that way, but I don't. Anyway, they had good meeting. She preached the gospel. A Baptist preacher and I went there as much as we could and gave it support. Now, God has used some of these groups today in a wide way. And I think, frankly, He's used them in spite of, not because of the position of women. Now, I may be a little extreme there, but bear with me. But there's another extreme position. And I don't agree with them either. They shut women out altogether from all public services. You never hear the voice of a woman in public in their meetings, not even in singing. And there are two groups in particular that I've ministered among them. I've had a good ministry among these people. And believe me, women are pushed to the background. And I think they've suffered a great loss in talent because of that. I think that women would have made a marvelous contribution to both of these groups had they used them. I think of the little story that's told, and I tell this in a facetious manner, I hope you understand. It was a little town in the Midwest, and there was a very prominent maiden lady in the town, and everyone agreed that she would have made some man a wonderful wife, but she'd never married, and she died. And the paper wanted to write up her story, but the society editor who had charge of the deaths, she was away on vacation. And they asked the sports editor if he would write up, and he wrote a little article about this lady, and he concluded it with these words, "Here lies the bones of Nancy Jones. For her, life held no terrors. She lived an old maid. She died an old maid. No hits, no runs, no errors." May I say to you, I think that they might say that of many churches today that will not use the talent of women, and God can and will use them. Now, these are extreme viewpoints. Now, I think both groups today are beginning to relax. I think we're beginning to see that today. Now, why all this confusion regarding this rather practical issue? Well, let's see what we have here. And I think that the confusion has been brought about by misunderstanding of this passage of Scripture in particular, as well as some other. There's been an unfamiliarity with the Roman world of Paul's day and an uncertainty as to what Paul actually said here. And I'd like for us to see, first of all, the world of Paul in that day. Now, God has used women. We need to understand that. You can't go through the Word of God, how God used Deborah and Queen Esther and Ruth. And in the history of the church, a woman like Mary Fletcher, Priscilla Gurney, and there are multitudes of others that God has used in a wonderful way. But you see, in the Roman world, the female principle was in all of the heathen religions, and women occupied a prominent place. You take the worship of Aphrodite at Corinth, which was probably one of the most immoral things, and actually prostitution there was made a religion, and the 1,000 Vestal Virgins that were in the temple of Aphrodite up on top of the Acropolis there at Corinth, and they were really were nothing in the world but prostitutes, and they had disheveled hair. And that's the reason God spoke about a woman having her head covered, is because in all those religions like that. Now, in Ephesus, where Timothy was and where Paul had spent so much time, why, women occupied there a very prominent part. That was the temple of Diana. And in all the mystery religions, there were these priestesses. Now, what Paul is saying here is this, that this matter of sex is not to enter into the matter of public prayer.